It is Independence Day Eve, and it's going to be another hot one. Don't let these early clouds fool you, or you'll fall victim to the heat, as this old man did yesterday, and Roger and J.R. Arche did over at the stadium. It went from 85 to 96 in less than an hour yesterday, and I am living proof, almost dead proof, that it happened. You get that heat, man. Ain't no way out. Ain't no way out. And speaking of the good old U.S. of A., we were talking a little bit about the Olympics. And it is amazing to me the interest that people have. It's not just swimming and gymnastics, Harry. To a certain extent, track and field.
I like tracking, but I've always liked track and field.
That was the only one.
Yeah, well, back in the old days, when I was in school, we used to go over to Little Rock Central just to watch Bruce Fullerton and those guys run.
Horton had a dynasty over there. He had kind of like McDonald at University.
Same thing, and they were spectacular.
When I was going to school there, he was still the coach, and they would rack it up every year. Many track athletes. And they're already Usain Bolt got beat twice, so they're building a little drama there. Phelps got beat in the swimming, so there's a little drama there. The gymnast fell on her face. Man, that was a fall.
Yeah.
I mean, just I don't know how they do that.
The thing with Phelps and Lochte will go on in the Olympics, though. They're a little cat and mouse, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
And both of them looking at each other, coming down the lane, going, "I beat you this time."
What's the guy's name? Rowdy Gaines.
Yeah.
He said, "What do you think it'll come down to?" And he said, He said they'll swim 200 yards,
and it'll be separated,
by the length of your little finger. He goes, I guarantee it. And Phelps just has an uncanny knack of reaching out at the end and hitting the thing.
The fact that he's 8 feet tall helps. That arm span, when he starts that little swinging his arms when he's on the platform, that's a strange look.
Yeah, he can just about go around all the way around his body.
Yeah.
He is.
But
the Olympics kick off here in about 3 weeks,
the 27th, I think.
Well, the finals of the swimming were last night, right? Because it was just a 30-minute trial. That's what it was. And I saw it. I thought, you know what? I hadn't seen any of it yet. I'll do it. Then I got to swimming. I thought, no, never mind. I'll do something else. We were arguing about what we're going to eat for dinner. But
the 45-year-old woman was the attraction
about
last night.
And there was a woman I saw. There's a woman in Seattle who's been given permission to swim, I guess, try out. Somebody backed me up in the trials. If not, I guess the trials, who had a double mastectomy. She says that the top causes her pain, so she's been given permission to swim topless.
I think I missed that.
No, I saw that, yeah.
Are you going to those websites again?
No. That was
this is the U.S. Olympic trial.
I don't doubt that it's happened, but it hasn't been mainstream sports. I can tell you that.
I don't think so.
I haven't seen that one on SportsCenter.
No, of course not. They probably won't show that. I'm still trying to find out, Harry. We'll get you to talk about some Razorbacks and stuff like that. But do you know what Scientology is?
I know that Tom Cruise is into it.
That's all you know.
Yeah,
he's the biggest star involved in it.
And Travolta into that too?
Yep. Might be too.
Yep.
I would like to find out today from somebody, what the hell is Scientology?
The one part that I did catch was that they believe in the reincarnation, I guess is the only thing that I would call it. That's why you sign a contract that you will be loyal for 1 billion years.
How do you know if you come back as another person that you signed that contract?
The only thing I ever knew about reincarnation was the movie, The Reincarnation of Peter Proud. That's the only thing that I ever saw. So, you got to sign a contract for 1 billion years to be loyal to it.
I did see that. That was on the news, 1 billion years, and I'm like, that in itself is wacky.
It's a long-term commitment.
That is you better have just a great contract.
You may be able to renegotiate after
the last million years.
A couple of million years. Yeah, that's when you start going,
your
still
free
want
agent
me?
Year.
Yep.
After 990 million.
Speaking of which, former Hog Joe Johnson goes to the Nets for about six people, and they're willing to trade Howard. I think it was about four players and three number one picks for one guy. And from everything I gather about him, and I don't follow the NBA, I followed closer than I did 5 years ago, but not like I did 25 years ago. I hear he's nothing but a problem child.
Howard.
Yeah.
Well, he come.
Acree could speak to that more than I, but it seems like he wants to go here, he wants to go there. No, I want to stay here. I want the coach fired. No,
I despise the idea that the athletes dictate the whole thing.
Well, he spoke. He gave two different reasons. You know, when he said that he was upset that someone had told that he wanted to get Van Gundy fired and all this and all that, and then he comes back and says, you know, that the team lied to him about things. Well, that's two different things. Which is it? You know,
Those guys.
Well, you know,
so much money.
They're making so much money,
shooting
but you
baskets,
know what though? But you know what? But they have to make so much money, Harry, because the teams will cut them loose. Look, I mean, I know you probably make fun of this. Heck, saw Jim Duggan. Tommy's been getting that questions about the honky tonk man. If you don't do what they want, you know, I mean, you're out. You're
Garnett
not going to make
at
any money.
36 is going to make $11 million a year.
Well, you got to get what you can when you can because you're going to cut your
money. He's been there 17 years or whatever it is. He should have enough money in the
bank. Well, look at the old baseball. I'm watching that eight man out again and all that with all those players. I mean, not only did they obviously have to have other jobs and all, but I mean, the team owned you and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't renegotiate. You couldn't do anything.
I understand all that.
But I'm not faulting anybody for trying to get as much as they can, but honor the contract that you have and then wait.
Yeah. Good luck on that.
All right, Harry. Yeah. All right. All right.
Who's the most overpaid athlete? What sport?
Boy, there's some golfers that and I admire the fact that they're individual entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
But there are guys out there who never win a tournament make $1 million a year.
Yeah.
Never. I mean,
yeah.
There are 80 or 90 guys make over $1 million.
Whoa. I've always wondered if a guy like Daly, who finishes in the money intermittently, does he come out ahead in the long run? Are a lot of these guys that win $200,000 a year?
$200,000, maybe not.
On the tournament. But, I mean, after speaking with Daly a couple of weeks ago, he's one of those players that – he's not going to make a lot of money winning the tournament. His money comes
from. He gets paid for showing up.
Yeah, sure.
They
for
were
sure.
Showing the field. Yeah. They were showing notables in the field coming up this weekend.
Right,
they had McIlroy, and they had John Daly on there.
I saw John, the Greenbrier thing. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of Tiger Woods?
Oh, I know everybody's, okay, he's back.
No, I don't say he's back. I don't think he'll ever be back to where he was.
You know, this is about I guess he's won three times, and each time it's been kind of an individual, him against the other guy. There's not five or six guys at the top. This time, Bo Van Pelt standing there on 16 with a 6-iron in his hand, knocking on the green. You win the tournament. Instead, he makes bogey from out.
I saw it.
How in the heck he can make bogey? I have no idea.
Well, but what about this army of Johnny-come-latelys that were supposed to take over the sport?
Yeah, well,
the McIlroys,
the
Watsons, and all those guys, Ricky Fowler, they
don't
win.
I have no idea where they are.
I don't either.
McIlroy, for a while, couldn't even make a cut. And
if Tiger were to win the British Open, I think he would be – he's number one now, but I think he would be the man again.
Yeah,
if he won the British Open.
Probably. That's the last.
Because he's won three tournaments this year.
Nobody else has done that. It's amazing. But each time it's been that, you know,
his putting was back better, a little better this
he
time.
He made a couple of putts the other day that went on 14 or 15 in front of Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Downhill, the kind of thing he'd done 4 or 5 years ago regularly.
Yeah.
Maybe he is. I'm still reluctant. Every time he tries to hit driver, he knocks it off the golf
course. I know. And when he was on 18 the other day, I said, why didn't he hit a 3-wood or something? Why
just because he wanted to prove he could.
I think he did. He was just trying to prove something to himself.
As long as he can hit that left to right shot cut down the fairway, he's okay. It's when he has to hit it the other way that sometimes.
He got up against that tree the other day and hit some. It's like Watson. They can hit their trick shots almost better than they can play real golf.
That just challenges his abilities. He likes that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because he can do it,
and
some of us can't.
Earlier this year, it looked like the Johnny Come Latelys and Mickelson had a little run, and then the Johnny Come Latelys come back again. And I can't even tell you who won the U.S. Open off the top of my head.
Webb Simpson.
Okay, Webb Simpson. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Who now is taking time off to be with his wife? Good for him because she's about.
Oh yeah, because one of them he played
and
the
Watson
week
took,
after.
Yeah, Watson took the week off too. I mean, took a month off after he won the. Won the Masters.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I certainly did.
Well, you can do that. When you come in last, you still get in the money.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Watson's a little bit different guy.
Well, I'm just saying. When we're talking about the money.
He could be out on a jet ski somewhere playing a guitar. Our very own Trey Schaap is in second place. I think he shot a 59 and a 63.
He did shoot 59 the first day. I can tell you, there's some good names on that trophy. You may think that's a Mickey Mouse golf course.
I used to follow it all the time. Yeah. The Ross, all those guys would have about a 4 or 5 year run, and then there'd be another guy have 4 or 5 year run, and somebody jump in there.
There's some, I don't know. I'm intimately familiar with at least one winner there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's one stroke off the lead, and they will finish it in the cool July air tomorrow.
You'd be surprised what even par will do tomorrow. It's just that's just typical of a golf tournament.
I finally got Harry to admit one thing, that there can come a day when it is too hot to golf. I never thought
what?
I would hear those words come out
really?
Of his mouth.
He's kind of altering the language there. I did play 36 last Saturday.
But you started when?
7:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. And the first course was a short course. We played at Hot Springs.
How long does it take you to play?
On the short course, we were through in less than
3 hours.
Who's
we? How many people?
Four.
You always do four. You're always out there with four.
Yeah,
okay.
At least four.
And how long does it take?
Less than 3 hours to play that course.
Yeah. And you guys are good.
No.
Well, you hit the ball straight and you're going down. We
play fast. You know, I mean, if you're going to screw it up, you might as well play fast and screw it up.
Right.
You ever played with Justin?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. He is going to play the ball. He's not going to move it out. I mean, you can't hit off the rocks. He won't make you hit off the rocks.
Right.
But you're going to play through. I mean, when you're that good, you hit long. I mean, and he hunts his balls down, and he finds them. I mean, he's got a knack for finding those balls.
You're supposed to.
Well, me on the other – look, I mean, if
– I don't know if some of our balls are snakes in there.
Oh, it's snake-infested wherever they are.
Well, you can't.
Why don't they just move those bushes?
And I've come up with a new theory. I think that it would add more excitement, more athleticism to golf if instead of taking a drop, you got to kick it. And
one kick around?
One kick. You can kick it any way you want to. You can kick it soccer style. You can kick it as far as you want to, as little as you want to. But that would make golf more interesting to me. You get Tiger Woods up there, and he's like, do I take a drop or do I kick it? I'm going to try the kick.
I'm going on the kick.
Is he going soccer style or is he going straight on?
I know of a guy who had a little wager one day at Hot Springs, and the deal was he's allowed to throw the ball one time. And the other guy, he agrees to that. And they're playing for a substantial amount of money. He picked up his
other guy's
ball and
yes.
threw it out of bounds.
I saw that in a Gene Hackman, Ray Romano movie.
It happened at Belvedere Country Club in Hot Springs.
Is that right?
He picked up his competitor's ball
and threw it out of bounds.
So he got to throw one ball, anybody's ball.
Well, that was the trick.
Not a bad rule.
Threw it out of bounds and they had to re-tee.
Exactly.
Real
He
happy.
Saw that in Mooseport or whatever that movie is.
In this one, there was a pistol involved.
I don't know if I want to play golf with you or not.
It wasn't me. I just know that it happened.
We do
believe me, I would.
About as far out as we'll go is a midline drop, and that's if you're playing with your partner and he hits it in the right rough and you hit it in the left rough, then you put it in the middle, and that's a midline drop.
That's not a bad rule.
I pulled that on some people two or three times, and they're like, midline drop? I said, come on, you watch golf.
That's good.
Just talk down to them. Come on, you watch golf. A midline drop, for crying out loud. I'm standing there. Put the ball in the center of the fairway where it should be.
I like Casey Dacus up in Searcy. He likes to it's a potato shot. No matter where you are, you can hit that club on the ground and kind of prop it up a little bit. Casey taught me that, and he's outstanding. So.
Yes, he is.
I've seen people make tees out of leaves.
Oh yeah, you can build ant mounds.
Oh yeah,
you can do that.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, well, sure. You know what? When I'm out there, if I'm going to put it on the fairway, I'm not going edge. I'm getting out there in the middle of the fairway. If you're giving me that opportunity, I'm out in the middle of it. And I kick it, you know, a couple of times with my little legs.
So when you played golf, you walked the course?
No.
Oh.
No, I rode.
Because they were talking about Venturi over the weekend back in 64 when he had to play 36 and 100 degrees and damn near killed him.
Yeah.
That would be that. I walked a mile yesterday, a mile and a half, and I mean at the end of the mile, and I was dead.
Oh, I was out.
And that last quarter, I was like, "What are you doing? What gets into your head, Tommy Smith, that tells you can do this? What were you thinking at that moment when you made that decision? You're not drinking anymore."
It's that point where you get past the halfway point and you realize, I got to go back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And the sun had broken out and all those clouds. Because it was like it is out there yesterday. I thought, I'll sneak this in. And I got home and I was shaking and I was quivering. And I just got my contract done. So I was feeling pretty good about that. But that all went out the window, man. I spent about 3 hours just guzzling water, taking a cold shower. I was like, man, what are you doing?
Well, your brain still thinks you're drinking. I mean, it's still got the endorphins or whatever it is up there. They're going, you know, come on. You know, it's that time. They still think you are.
I don't know. I think the old drunk me could handle the walk.
Oh.
But would you know you handled it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I know we played the other day, and I played so poorly. And we're playing for quarters, which is pretty
– That's pretty – that's top notch.
And when you lose $8 playing for quarters, you've played pretty poorly. And all the way back, it's a pity party for Harry. It's and you know, Harry, maybe you need to move up to the other tees, the old man tees. Maybe
well, how old do you have to be?
It's not an age. It really isn't.
Because Josh was telling me the other day, Dad, why don't you move up here? You're 57 now. You can move up.
You can move it up whenever you want to. And really, the PGA is pushing a thing called Tee It Forward to make it more fun.
Have you seen this commercial? It was on the golf coverage the other day about these new courses they're building where the holes are about an inch bigger. And they're all the holes are short, like a par 4, 278, stuff like that. It's for older guys.
Sure.
And that they're catching on big time in the Northeast.
We played it at the Village. They have an executive course that has 10 par 3s and 8 par 4s. And it's a lot of fun to play. You still got to get the ball in the hole.
Yeah.
Still got to hit a wedge on the green. Still got to make the putt. Yeah.
Well, Justin brought something up, I think, maybe a year ago or so, Tommy. Maybe you remember that, Harry, that they were with these new courses you're talking about. Is that also with shortening courses by making them 15 holes or something like that?
I hadn't heard that. Jack Fleck.
Jack Fleck. I talked to my father-in-law, stepfather about him the other day. Went up there and played, and there's like
crisscross. All the holes crisscross. I went up there and looked at his
golf. If you get a lot of people playing at one time, it could be a wild goose chase.
Well, his idea was he could sell it to Japan.
We did that at War Memorial. We did the crisscross at War Memorial.
No, we did that.
All because of the construction.
We used to play at North Hills where whoever won the hole got to choose the next tee.
Let's see who's on the hotline. Hello.
Hey. How are you, Mr. Tom? Clint Albright.
Hey, Clint. How are you doing?
Clint.
You ready for some softball this weekend?
Boy, I pity you.
No, it's going to be a cool down.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool
98.
Down.
They said, I just watched the forecast, 95 on
there
Sunday.
You go.
I mean, we'll have to have a sweater out there, won't we?
Yes, you will. You've been wearing the turtleneck undershirts like they wear in April. It was like when I was in California last summer when I went away. They had you got to watch 2 hours of TV. Well, one of the hours of TV was big news, big cool down coming this weekend, and we were like, let's save 15 minutes for the weather. We got to see this. And it had been about 117 every day. And they get to the major cool down, and I said, we're going to cool down about 14 degrees. Only going to be 103 tomorrow.
Ooh.
And I'm like, God, I love Arkansas. I want to go home.
But it's a dry heat, right?
Yeah. Once you reach a certain number, it don't matter. That sun beats down on you. What you got going this weekend?
Well, we've got the 33rd year we've done the Busch Pepsi Softball Classic.
Yep.
And we've got 114 teams from 15 states coming in from, of course, all over the country. And it's every kind of softball you could imagine. You know, if you like the big power hitters, you remember when we had the home run hitting exhibition at Dickie Stevens and they were hitting balls over the scoreboard at Dickie Stevens out into the street out there? I mean, you've got some power hitters like that coming in that play in our conference division. You know, conference U-SSSA is like the SEC. It's a conference of teams all over the country, and there's only 18 tournaments they can play in on their circuit, and this is one of them. So you're going to get the primo teams in the country come into play in the conference division, which a lot of people like to watch. But then you've got softball for everyone. We've got a really tough women's division this year, and they play games like baseball. I mean, they're 4-3 and 8-9-8, and they hit singles and doubles and triples and run and make a lot of good defensive plays. And then
what was the softball I was watching the other day? It was on TV. It was like 41-19 at the end of an inning, and then the other team caught up, and then if you hit a home run, it was an out.
I was going to ask Clint, are they limited to the number of home runs they can hit?
Yeah, it depends on the classification. When you get down to D and E, you can't hit any home runs.
Yeah.
And when you get up in the upper division, it's 8 home runs and an out. You probably saw the U.S.-Canadian
challenge
on ESPN, those are the kind of guys that are coming in here. And they play with a home run limit of 8. So when they hit 8 after that, they have to adjust their swings. And there's a lot of strategy in it that way. So you have to adjust your swings, and you have to take advantage of your 8 home runs. You don't want to hit solo shots. You want to hit it with men on base. So
that was you would have to think about that because the score was like 41-39 or something.
It's amazing how they play, and it's a lot of strategy, and they play their infield back real deep. And, you know, there's just a lot of interesting strategy on how to use the home run. And so you have that kind of ball, and then we've got a C, D, and E division where they don't hit any home runs in D and E, and it's more like, you know, singles, doubles, triples, and strategy there as well. So,
oh, those balls come hot. They come hot.
Yeah, I was watching
and that's
girls,
a big ball.
I watched girls' fastball pitch last night. They're, I ain't getting it.
I took it to the knee one time playing for my brother, because my brothers used to play all the time in Hot Springs, and Bald Mountain, I think, was the name of the one of the places that they went. And I remember them talking, because there were just some power hitters. There was a bunch of big poppies on the team.
You don't want to play on the corners. First
oh,
to third.
And the,
no
the fields are smaller, yeah. I think. Yeah. And yeah. And that big ball is no bigger thing. Than my head, which is huge.
I don't
well, they play, their, they play their infielders deep so they can get those hot balls. And, you know, we've got Arkansas teams like FBI, like Fence Brokers, that I think advertises on your station some.
Well, they're fine they're, individuals then. Fine
they're in
individuals.
That, they're in the conference division, and they won this tournament the last couple of years. So there's some really good Arkansas teams you can come root for. And then, you know, we've got places for the kids to play, and they bring in a lot of food vendors that are cooking. And it just makes for a real festive weekend and at Burns Park and the Sherwood Sports Complex. And, you know, Sherwood, if you've been out there, you know, that's the one that Kevin McReynolds helped him build, because he went to high school there at Sylvan Hills. And it is really a fan-friendly area, because they left all the trees up, and they've got a whole bunch of pavilions, so it's real shady around the fields. So you can kind of watch in the shade and watch the game and, you know, help with the heat a little bit. So, you know, it's just a lot of teams, a lot of action, and a lot of things for people to do out there.
We may need you to be an honorary commission in our summer network Olympics here. We're going to get all the local anchors, three per team, that's on 16, 4, 11, and 7. And one of our competitions is going to be Wiffle Ball Home Run Derby.
Mm. Oh, boy.
And I don't know, I'm sure you've played wiffle ball and doctored the ball and taped it up and taped the bat up.
Yeah, we used wooden bats and then taped the ball up.
Is there any ball of that nature, softball, baseball, wiffle ball, where you can put as much junk on a ball and make it do so many things?
No, because you had those holes in the wiffle ball.
Yes.
And, boy, you could make that thing dance.
I mean, it dance, Clint, and I mean, and drop.
Yeah.
Just drop.
Yep. I had what they called the floating knuckler, and somebody thought that was a fart joke, but it was actually just I mastered the floating knuckler.
Yeah.
And anybody can do it. And that ball will just dance all over everywhere.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful
it's
thing.
A beautiful,
you know, y'all remember Cecil Fielder, the big superstar? The story on him was he was a fabulous hitter with the fastball, but he could not master the curve. And he spent a whole year one time in his garage with a wiffle ball and just had people throw a wiffle ball to him and dance it like that. And he learned to hit the curveball in baseball by practicing with a wiffle ball.
Well, you know, they don't have, back in the day, and I don't know if any of you remember, the Wilbur Woods, who was the other great knuckleball?
Bill Negro.
Those guys threw the knuckle, and your arm apparently lasts longer, too.
You don't have to put as much. Well, you know, R.A. Dickey's on the All-Star team this year from the Mets is a knuckleball pitcher.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're still around.
I have to catch some of that. Well, to get involved in your shebang, what do people need to do?
Well, it starts Friday night at 7:15 at Burns Park in the Sherwood Sports Complex, and just come out to either one of those and enjoy it. There's a lot of stuff for people to do. There's a huge home run derby, by the way. Friday night starts at 5:00 at the Sherwood Complex, and anybody wants to participate in it can do it. And some of the big hitters across the country are coming out to compete against the winners of the Home Run Derby. And we have our Softball Hall of Fame induction ceremony out there Friday evening.
Now, I don't know if it's the same association, but David Rowe.
David Rowe is one of the inductees this year.
I grew up with Peanut.
Next
time you give him a hard time, David Runk took David Rowe. They tackled him in the infield at Lamar Porter Field, took his shorts off, and ran him up the flagpole. You'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah, that's a neat story there.
Yeah, well,
he was a great middle infielder, and he's being inducted this year. So that'll be at 6:00 Friday out at Sherwood. If people want to see some of the old-timers and reminisce. It's kind of like a big reunion with a lot of softball players from past years come out there that are already in the Hall of Fame and watch the new class get put in. So, anyway, it's a, there's something for everybody. It's a big festive weekend at both complexes, and, you know, it's just something to do and enjoy, and come out at night, if nothing else, where it cools down some, and big crowds out there at night because, you know, the weather's a little bit better. But, you know, we play pretty much nonstop from 8 in the morning till after midnight every day, and then all the championships are Sunday afternoon. So.
Well, get on out there and see them. Take a load off your feet. Go out and watch some guys hit, whack some long balls. And
kink, kink, kink.
That's it.
Yep,
that's
we got the metal bats.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, Clint, before you go, get a hold of Bradley over at Leaf Guard of Arkansas. I'll get him up here one of these days.
Yeah, he needs to come up and talk about your gutters.
Oh, boy, I love them.
I'm sure they're working a lot now, aren't they?
You know what? No, leaves are falling all off the trees because they're dying.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, and once again, those gutters, they are weed eater proof.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, there
and
you go. Free advertising.
Keeps the sun out of your eyes, too, right?
Well, I tell you what.
You under them and it keeps you in shape.
I tell you what, Albright, if somebody could suck up to an agency, it's.
Yeah, that's right.
You come on. You come on.
We'll talk to you.
Naturally, he's the one I call to arrange for this interview.
And I am grateful.
All right, Clint, good luck.
All righty, guys.
Thanks,
come see
man.
You.
All right,
there
bye-bye.
This is SportsCenter.
The Arkansas Travelers use a huge ninth inning to beat the Frisco Rough Riders. This Sports Slam is brought to you by Chimps Barbecue on West Markham. Everyone wants barbecue on the 4th of July, but don't cook it yourself. Beat the heat by ordering from Chimps, 225-4346. The Travs trailed Frisco 6-2 going into the ninth inning, and then after a couple of singles by Alberto Rosario and Darwin Perez, Roberto Lopez stepped to the plate.
First pitch is driven in the air to left field and deep. There it goes, all the way back. That